Hare Krishna, what a great fortune to hear once again in Namamrit course as well as Bhakti Brother Bhagavat Maharaj on day 2nd. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So who's joining us today for the first time who was not here yesterday? Okay. There's a system with the Mayapur Institute. You may have to register the office, which is down the passageway here, the last door on your left hand side. So I'm not sure whether the office secretary is there today. Apparently he's gone to Calcutta or Kolkata. He may only come later this afternoon. Originally I mentioned that if somebody wants to attend this particular Namamrita program, they would have been coming from the first day. But if you're already in, you're already in. So, but there's some notes that we gave yesterday, which he will give you later on, like that. And are you going to come every day? You're not sure. Depends on your health. Okay. Alright. She's an exceptional case. She's a senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada and she's here. She can come in whenever your health permits you. Okay, so this is 2-1 and 2 with the exceptional part of you. Fine. So later on you can go to the office and let them know. Okay. All right, from yesterday's sessions, we need some volunteers to give us some points that may have struck you the most during our discussions yesterday. We need 2 or 3 volunteers to just recap something that you may have remembered from yesterday that was important for you. Any volunteers? Yes? Yes, we discussed about kirtan and japa, yes. What did we discuss?
What is important? The power of kirtan. And we discussed about sexual devotion. What is about japa? And kirtan was referred to in the scripture.
Okay. Yes. Srila Prabhupada expands the word kirtan to all types of devotional service, practical devotional service. But he specifically restricts japa to japa as its sole activity. Like that. And we discussed that both are important, they may be interdependent, but from a devotional practicing point of view as devotees, japa is given prominence because of the vow we take at the time of initiation. You need chairs, huh? There are chairs there. Come. Because you won't be able to see the screen. There's 3 chairs at the back here. Come through. But Mother Satya? There's a chair right here. You sit on this side if you want to see the screen. It's alright, you go sit on this side. Okay, 2 other volunteers offer some points from yesterday. Yes.
Difference between the Unified and the member.
Oh,
the
yes.
Unified can't
be Yes, we took the liberty of shredding Srila Prabhupada's purport a little bit and discussing that neophytes chant at least 16 rounds. But a member of ISKCON chants a minimum of 16 rounds. There's a difference. And we discussed minimum 16 means at least 17. That means one should be having a taste for the holy name to chant more than 16 rounds. At least 17 or more in that sense. And then it was discussed also that on a basis of practical services, we should chant minimum 16, at least 17, but still engage in practical services, and it is important to chant our rounds as the priority of first thing in the morning, so that we get other services done and still have time. We still will possess time as a commodity. Okay. She needs a chair. Just take this chair. Yeah, take this chair. All right, any other volunteers? Yes. I saw you have your hand up, right? I'll come to you soon. Yeah. Different stages of chanting the holy name. Yes. Namaparad, yes. Namabhas, yes. Sudana. Yes, what was the discussion of making progress from Namaparad to Namabhas? What should one do? Three things. Go on chanting, yes? Repent for offenses committed. And chant the Panchatattva mantra before the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's all. We also discussed in that mood of not being too worried whether one is on Namabhas stage or even Sudanam. You should just do these three things, everything will be all right. In other words, these later stages of Namabhas and Sudanam, they descend in one's own consciousness by its own mercy. We are not in the achiever's mode to go through that stages. It comes by its own accord or by its own most mercy. And Srila Prabhupada uses the word, and that stage will come by its own, it will come. Not that you can achieve it as a result, it will come. We just have to continue to do these three things. Yes. Yes, when there is this Krishna conscious culture that's in place already, Krishna conscious culture. In fact, the cultural aspect, even without Krishna consciousness, was also prevalent in the Western world. I visited a place on the east coast of Canada and near Halifax. And near Halifax is where the Titanic went down. I visited a place there with some devotees. We have a team of brahmacharis who's living in nearby that area at one time. And one of the devotees mentioned to me that in some remote villages on that eastern side, even towards Newfoundland and so forth like that, you know, you can leave your, say for example you're doing some farming, you know, you can leave your like pockets of, or maybe packets of like tomatoes or something, tomatoes, whatever you pronounce that way. You can leave it there in the stall and you can go home and somebody will come and leave their money and take that. And then later on you just come and collect your money. You know, that type of culture was prevalent where the word stealing is unknown. Like that type of thing. So even in the Western world there was the worst culture also. You know, following the regulatory principles. Not only in India, but all over the planet, because to some extent. But then Srila Prabhupada went to the Western world and he initiated the regulated principles to be followed at the time of initiation and to chant a minimum number of 16 rounds. That's true. All right. We're going to continue with session number 3. We have completed the chanting of the names within 3 stages, the Nama Parad and the Panchatattva Mantra, with that in Nama Bhas, and Nama Bhas continued, and then pure chanting Sudhanam. Now we're going to get to the next slide, but before we do that, I just want to check with our drama group, Dramati. Did you all discuss? We didn't have... You mean you don't need to prepare? You have the list, right? We covered at least about 10 or 12 yesterday. There's another 12 more to go. Yeah. So you'll have to do that shortly again. Okay. So Prabhupada says here, be cautious and respectful, not neglectful. So he mentions, so actually when we chant Hare Krishna mantra, we directly associate with Krishna. Now this is an actuality. In other words, does it really happen to us? Or the mind is giving so much trouble? Now Prabhupada can speak like that. I mean, I'm just repeating what he says. Prabhupada can speak like that, that when we chant Hare Krishna, we directly associate with Krishna, because name is the incarnation of Krishna, Name Rupa Krishna Avatar. Therefore, if we are sensible, that we should take very much respectful attitude to the name, because name and Krishna are the same. And then Prabhupada gives us, suppose Krishna walks through the door, you know, he's saying, suppose Krishna comes here, how much respectful we shall be immediately. So similarly, when we chant Hare Krishna mantra, we should know Krishna is there. Therefore, we should be very much cautious and respectful, not neglectful. That is offense. That is offense. If you become inattentive, that is offense. Now, it's a fact, if Krishna walks through the door, your whole consciousness will change immediately. Like this. You know, but if Krishna walks through the door, what will you do? You will offer obeisances. What else would you do? He's there now. Offer obeisances, chanting the name of him. You may embrace him if you're in a friendly relationship, okay? What else when he comes? What would you do? You offer him a seat? You offer him, right? After he's sitting down? Some water, some fruit, flower garland, prasada, boga. You have to do so many things, so many arrangements immediately have to be done. Like that. But if Krishna, in the form of the holy name, is entering, you do not have to do anything. You do not have to do. You don't have to offer a seat, you don't have to offer a garland, you don't have to offer bhoga. You don't have to do anything. So in that sense, the holy name is more merciful than Krishna. And in that sense, the holy name is simply more powerful than the all-powerful Lord. Right. But Prabhupada is giving the comparison. Suppose Krishna comes, this is how you should treat the holy name also, in that sense. Okay? Realizing God through the tongue and ears. And you'll be surprised to know that Krishna is realized through tongue. Of course, after tongue, the other senses are following. Tongue is the chief. So we have to control the tongue. how to control, chant Hare Krishna, taste Krishna Prasada. That's all. You will find the Prabhupada uses the words toward the end. In the other part, yesterday we read one excerpt and he said, and that will be very effective. And here he says, that's all. In other words, just with the tongue, by tasting Krishna Prasadam and chanting Hare Krishna, you can realize Krishna through that. And then the more you become purified by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, you will see Krishna face to face. People are asking, can you show me God? You can see God. Simply prepare your eyes. Simply prepare your ears. You will by hearing. Simple words, you will. Prabhupada is giving guarantee by hearing. By hearing, through the hearing process, you'll see Krishna face to face. And Krishna consciousness is a sweet struggle. And material life is a... What's the difference? It's a bitter struggle, yes. Material life is a bitter struggle, but Krishna consciousness is a sweet struggle. It's a struggle, but sweet, not bitter. So there are two forces of nature working in us. By one, we decide that in this lifetime we will make spiritual advancement. But in the next moment, the other force, Maya or illusory energy, says, what is all this trouble that you're going to? Just enjoy this life and be easy with yourself. This tendency to fall into forgetfulness is the difference between God and man. So there is a tendency. I've heard one devotee said that Srila Prabhupada said that spiritual organization in the material world, very, very, very difficult proposition. In other words, we have a spiritual organization like ISKCON within the material world. It's not supposed to be around here. But it is there. It's a very difficult proposition in an atmosphere charged by materialistic tendencies. So therefore, even to try to be a devotee, there is a tendency, there is a proclivity or inclination to go back to material life. There will always be that. So one has to be cautious for that. Okay? Krishna consciousness. Wonderful. I like this. So someone can read Nandakishore and someone can play Prabhupada and the devotees will say Jai. Who can read? You play Prabhupada. You can read? Nandakishore. Start reading, Nandi.
Nandakishore.
No, you are Nandi.
Oh, sorry. What happens to a person if you just give him out on the street? One simply wonderful. Or some prasadam, one piece of prasadam.
That is wonderful, simply wonderful. He has not tasted such wonderful food in his life. Therefore you give him wonderful, and because he's eating that wonderful food, one day he'll come for you to your temple and become wonderful. Therefore it is simply wonderful. So go on distributing this simply wonderful. Your philosophy is simply wonderful. Your prasadam is simply wonderful. You are simply wonderful. And your Krishna is simply wonderful. The whole process is simply wonderful. And he acts wonderfully. And it is acting wonderfully. Who can deny it? Prabhupada is simply wonderful. That's all right. You can become everyone. All right, up here.
Wonderful. In other words, you know, beneath that sweet struggle in Krishna consciousness is wonderful. Every aspect of it. Maybe some struggle, but it's wonderful. But material life, there's no wonder in it at all. It's a bitter struggle and it's not wonderful. One shouldn't be mindful. Try your best, Giriraj. There are other things which we are instructed to do, which even though we try to do, we cannot do perfectly yet. Srila Prabhupada. How is that? You try to do and cannot do. How is that? Giriraj. Like chanting attentively. Sometimes we try, but Srila Prabhupada. Well, that is not a fault. Suppose you are trying to do something. Due to your inexperience, if you sometimes fail, that is not a fault. You are trying. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam. That if a devotee is trying his best, but due to his incapability he sometimes falls, Krishna excuses him. Sometimes not willingly, but due to past bad habits. Habit is second nature. One does something nonsensical. But that does not mean that he is faulty. But he must repent for that. I have done this. And you should try to avoid it as far as possible. Sometimes in spite of your trying hard, Maya is so strong that it pushes with pitfalls. That can be excused. Krishna excuses, but those who are doing something willingly are not excused. You have these notes already, right? For session 3, which I gave you yesterday. Yes. In other words, Prabhupada is very encouraging. Yeah. You just continue to try your best. Irrespective whether one is stuck with many anathas in the heart, whatever your condition may be, just continue to try your best. Okay? You have any questions for now? Yes.
You were describing the nature of a Mayavadi, and you said that whatever temple he goes to, he glorifies as
he is. He's saying that yesterday, well, somebody asked a question about not to hear the Maha Mantra from a non-devotee, just like milk is touched by the lips of a serpent, you know, that type of thing. So when devotee asked Prabhupada, who are you referring to, he said especially the Mayavadis. So then he is saying today that the Mayavadis are hard to detect, which I mentioned yesterday, because they go with the flow and then they turn the tide on you towards them. So when they go to a particular gathering, a religious gathering, they blend in. It's like, you know, if you go to a Shiva temple, then they'll glorify Lord Shiva. If you go to a Durga temple, then glorify Durga. The Mayavadi blends in, and then he turns you, especially in India. So for him, everything is one in that sense, but he doesn't tell you. He does not tell you. He just wants to trap you to come to their side. What's your question further?
What does that mean? Because I don't have creatures of Krishna consciousness. Generally we do like preach according to the audience. Like, you know, say Shiva is the greatest devotee of Krishna. Like if we are in a Shiva temple. You know what I mean?
Yes. So he's making another point. In order to make people favorable to Krishna consciousness, and say for example when we go to a Shiva temple, I mean they regard Shiva as the supreme, but we may preach. He is the supreme in the sense from the border of the spiritual world into the material world, but not in the spiritual world. Like Maheshwar. We may preach like that, but yet there's still the spiritual world. And in relation to the spiritual world, like you said, and Shiva is the best devotee. We may preach like that to bring people to Krishna consciousness. That's fine. But the Mayavadi, he doesn't do that. He goes along with the flow. He's very tricky. They're extremely intelligent. They're very tricky. Right. They can even bewilder you with all sorts of Sanskrit verses and so forth. But then turn the tide on you and bring you towards their thinking. And even India is full of that. Is that okay? Other questions? No?
I read in the book that even Muslim or general people, if they chant maybe haram or garam, they will get benefit.
Yes.
But here,
He is saying that this is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. even if they chant half a syllable of the mantra, or if they chant it reverse, they'll come to the point of the mantra, they get some benefit. It's a type of namabhas, but not on the level of the three stages of chanting. So he's saying that the Muslims, they chant haram. And if you continue to chant harama, haram, haram, harama, rama, haram, becomes rama. That's what he's mentioning. Go ahead.
But here, you mentioned that we have to really carefully.
So we have to?
Really extra careful, when really attentive, when we chant.
Yes, and this is for devotees who have taken shelter and surrendered to the process of Krishna consciousness. The Muslim may be chanting that, or maybe speaking those words, but he is not a sadhaka. He is not a practitioner in Krishna consciousness. But there will be some agyata sukriti, some unknowing credit that he may someday come into contact with Krishna consciousness. Maybe it's maybe in the present life it's more fortunate, but it's in some future life. But specifically these quotes Prabhupada is giving to the devotees, sadhaka. Like for example, this is in the perfection of perfect questions, perfect answers. But it applies because Girard Swami is a devotee and is asking Prabhupada as a practitioner. So a lot of the quotations we are applies to us in terms of practice in Krishna consciousness. It's not for the non-devotees, but yet they can chant and get, you know, benefit by becoming a devotee later on. Is that okay? We'll take one more question and move ahead. Yes. Yeah, generally in the history of ISKCON we are taught by senior devotees that when somebody is introduced to the chanting and they are not really following the regulative principles, but they are encouraged to chant, which will purify them to follow the principles later. Generally we give them sandalwood beads or neem beads. We don't really give tulasi. Tulasi is more for the more serious practitioners who are following the four regulative principles eventually. Generally, that's how I've been taught by the seniors over the years. Is that all right? It's a side question.
Yes.
Yes. For to chant Hare Krishna, you come as you are. This is Mahaprabhu's magnanimity and following that in relation to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada himself in the early days in New York, you know, he never mentioned so much the regulative principle. He just said chant Hare Krishna. He was beginning a worldwide program, chant Hare Krishna. Even to the extent that some of the early initiates, he said you can come for the initiation, but he never mentioned the regulative principle. But just before the initiation, he said you have to know these four vows. He said, now? But he was beginning a worldwide movement, so. But now it's clear. Now we have developed and we are more established as a movement. So now it's clear that if somebody accepts initiation, they should already know and already be involved. But initially, we encourage people to chant. You come as you are, in any condition. All right? Okay, drama? Some skips? You have the list with you, right? There's two lists.
The teams of the family.
Huh?
The teams of the family.
But you should have done that earlier. Okay, get out. Don't take more than 5 minutes. We'll take more questions if you have. Yes.
You mentioned about.
Can you go to the next session? Change this to the session 4.
You mentioned about initiation and friendship, regulative principle. When Prabhupada said disciple.
He said there was mentioned about the four regulative principles and at the time of initiation for Prabhupada. And
how if somehow something happened about maybe disobey one or maybe more about these principles because of bad habits? After we took initiation and somehow something happened, for example, we can say, well,
is English your first language? English your first language? No.
English
is your first language? No. Yeah. Trying to understand what you're saying, because English is not your first. So if I repeat what you said to them, say, you must tell me when I'm saying the right thing. Okay. So he's mentioning that after taking the vows at the time of initiation, especially to follow the four regulative principles, what if due to some past habit one breaks those principles?
Yes. How is it?
How is it? I forget the exact context of the anecdote, but something to the effect of Srila Prabhupada, like that. There was one, I believe the sannyasi here, he was a sannyasi, so he left the practice of Krishna consciousness and he left the association of devotees. So after some time, he came back, and when he came back, the other devotees were like harping or picking on in breaking the principles and leaving, like that. Because the other devotees did that, he felt not welcome and he left again, like that. So this came to Srila Prabhupada, like that. Srila Prabhupada said, why are you criticizing that he's broken the regulative principles? You know, you made it so difficult for him to come back. You understand? Yeah. So if somebody has broken the regulative principles, but if they come back, that means it's an accidental fall down, Srila Prabhupada, something to that effect. And if somebody breaks the principles, they come, no matter how long they take to come back. The fact is they're coming back indicates you can take it as an accidental fall down. So in that mood, we're preaching to new people, right? And the new people are already breaking the principles to make them devotees. But we're not seeing that when the new person becomes a devotee and practices, we are not talking about their past activities of material life, you know, breaking the principles. We're not talking about it. We're just welcoming them. You're a new person, we'll say, nice you became a devotee. So in the same mood, what to speak of for somebody who has already experienced Krishna consciousness and is coming back, in the same way you should accept them back, not seeing that past activity. So it is important that if somebody is breaking the principles but they actually come back, you should take it that, you know, their fall down has been accidental. The fact that there's a coming back is important. Have I understood that right? Okay, thank you. One more question, then we'll call them in. Or comment. Okay, get them in. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Are you here? Okay. So they're going to demonstrate some more of this inattentive. Where's your friend? The team members. They're going to demonstrate more of the inattentive or mechanical chanting. Come. You need to use the microphone? But be loud. Go ahead. What jump is that? Driving jump. Quite popular. In the, in our early days of Sankirtan, you know, sometimes there was this emphasis, you know, go early, distribute as many books as you want. We used to be in that mode. And sometimes we're driving. The devotee is driving in the car and he has to go in the... He's the driver and he's the Sankirtan man, also with other devotees. So they drive out during japa time. They just take darshan and we have to go a little far, drive out during japa time. In other words, the devotee is chanting in the car and the devotee who's driving, he's chanting also and going in Sankirtan. It's not good. We should follow the morning program and chant japa without driving. And now we have the congregational devotees. You know, there's more devotees who are congregational based. And then some devotees say they also chant the japa while driving to work. You know, in the morning, chant while driving. Not good. It's inattentive. And some devotees even meet an accident because of the japa beep bang. get stuck on the steering wheel, something like that. Be careful. Next. Recognize that? What's that?
Sightseeing Japa.
It's sightseeing Japa. You know, he's in the park or he's in the forest. Something like that. It's sightseeing. Now when you see somebody taking a Japa walk, you know, walking, even in the park or in the forest, you should decode that they are chanting extra rounds. Don't be offensive. You just decode that this person is chanting. And this is not his prescribed number of japa, he's chanting extra rounds. So why am I saying that? Is that we should not find fault with somebody else who didn't attend the Namamrita program. We should not find fault with somebody else. There's so much distraction out there. And who's the Namacharya? He never did that. He chanted it. We're going to discuss that. I'm switching two sessions. Instead of session 6, we're going to do sessions 7 today and tomorrow session. It's in session 6 tomorrow. Because there's a lot of distraction. You know, you'll see beautiful birds, see nice trees, and it's autumn and the leaves are falling, you know. You get affected by the sensory perception of things. And your chanting is automatically inattentive. Right? Automatically inattentive. Go ahead, next.
Oh, pray and what is that? Oh my God! Could I go on to red? Did she forget?
That's an easy one. Newspaper reading japa. Even for that matter, you cannot read the Bhagavatam and chant japa. Or the slip of a newspaper. You must do one of the other activity. More? One more. Okay, go ahead. What time of Japa is it? humbling, okay. Yes, yes.
And the pronunciation is the hissing sound.
Yes, it's a hissing sound. Yes. Sometimes, I think Prabhupada said in place, Nishnishvamna. Or sometimes we call it a mini mantra. A short in the mantra. Yeah. Mini mantra. At times, how many of you sort of are eager to just pull down your counter beat? As soon as you finish, you pull it down and it's over. But how many of you have a tendency, which is a positive tendency, if you feel if you have not chanted that round properly, you don't pull down your counter beat. You redo the round. That's a nice thing to do. It's a nice thing. You have to infuse yourself with this potency. You know, it's a simple act, but it's a powerful act. That if you feel you haven't completed your round nicely, you don't take that round into consideration as one of your minimum 16, and you don't pull the counter beat now. You should try it, it helps. Right. Okay, we have one more? Done. Okay, so in the next break we need you to complete more, right? Okay. You have questions? It's like while you're chanting, then your finger slips and then you lost that point of where you have to stop and continue chanting, right? Then you take it as a higher arrangement and restart the round. You take it as higher arrangement. Don't look for which beat as higher arrangement. That means Krishna wants you to chant more his names. Some hand went up there. Yes. Somebody had a hand up? You mean you want to act? Please come. Some nice enthusiasm is there. Fine. This actually happens? This is from the Mataji side. All right, we'll have to add this to the list. Yes, we have to add this to the list. Thank you. Okay. All right. Now you can write down in your notebook the name of one person in your life. Not Krishna. It could be a devotee, it could be a family member, it could be a friend. The one person in your life that you are most attached to and love to be with. In other words, that person may not necessarily reciprocate in the same way, but from your side, who is that person that you like to be with, attached to, like to serve? Just one name. In other words, sometimes they use the word, this is my beloved. My beloved, like that. So write the name of your beloved. It doesn't matter whether it's a spiritual or material relationship, write one name down. you don't have anyone like the closest person. Okay, so we're beginning to already evaluate our japa. Okay. So since you've written that name down, you've selected one person in your life who you're attached to and love. When you are with your beloved, which one below is most appropriate for you? In other words, is it A, I hate to be with my beloved? That's contradictory already. It won't be. B, I have to be with my beloved, or I get to be with my beloved, or I want to be with my beloved, and I love to be with my beloved. So write down A, B, C, D, or E in relation to that name you have written now. Which one applies? Okay. How many of you have written down A, I hate to be with my beloved? It's contradictory, nobody will write that down. How many of you have written down B, I have to be with my beloved? Have to be means duty. Okay, one. C, I get to be with my beloved. It's an opportunity to be with my beloved. Anyone written C? Okay. D, I want to be with my beloved. It's my desire, yes. More hands are going up as we go down. Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10. Yes, a lot of you in the class. And E, I love to be with my beloved. That'll be most in the group. Okay, so in the same way, you can apply this. So daily, when you pick up your bead bag to chant, which one below is most appropriate for you? The intensity of experience of the world in being in love with somebody or being attached to can be dovetailed in the chanting. So gradually, you know, one should progress from A to B to C to D to E in terms of the chanting. Same thing in relationship to Krishna. Right. You can dovetail the same intensity of experience. It will be there. You may have heard that expression, especially for B. It says, somebody will tell another devotee, you know, I have to chant my vows. And it's a matter of duty. I took this vow, I have to chant. It's a matter of duty. Right. So in this way you can sort of evaluate whether you get to chant your vows. It's an opportunity. An opportunity to chant. It's a good opportunity. Or I want to chant my rounds. It's my desire. Or I love to chant my rounds. It becomes spontaneous. But a lot of the times we hear this B. With the first one, A, I hate to chant my rounds, especially with children. You tell the children to chant and you buy them a toy or something. Okay, I'll do it. But they hate to do it. So we have to be careful for that. Okay. If you cannot hear the chant loudly, when you will chant, you'll hear also. Then your attention will be there. And you are chanting and you are thinking something else, oh, that is also another offense. You should be careful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you cannot hear, then you will chant loudly. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you must hear. That is wanted. Otherwise you will be inattentive. That is a fact. So yet again, when we chant in our normal volume, but if it's inattentive, then you chant a little loudly and then you come back to your normal volume. So, for example, if something is approaching you that's dangerous, you're going to scream, right? Loudly. Go away! So similarly, that danger of the mind that will bring in so many thoughts and other things, then you chant a little loudly, it will go away, and you come back to your normal volume of chanting. Practice. Prabhupada, abhyasa yoga. You practice this, therefore we say, you must chant at least 16 rounds. This is abhyasa yoga. When one becomes attached to chanting, he doesn't require to be under discipline. But so long as he is not practiced, he must be under. Just like a boy, he is instructed by the teacher, you must give me at least 4 pages handwriting. So 4 pages handwriting means writing. He'll be practiced. So therefore, these are the practice. You must. And such chanting must be offenseless in order to be of high quality. Mechanical chanting is not as powerful as chanting of the holy name without offenses. Okay? Practice. In other words, no matter how difficult it is, whether you are hearing or not the holy name, do not give up the chanting. Just continue to practice. Alright. Now, you may have heard, at least I have heard, and other devotees have told me they have heard, but you may have heard sometimes there's a type of instruction that comes from senior devotees or others, even outside of ISKCON, that it's better to chant 4 rounds of quality than 16 rounds of quantity. Anyone heard this? Yes. It's completely bogus. Completely bogus. Prabhupada has an understanding. In 2 places, we just took 1 excerpt. Brahmananda. The quality of the chanting, he is asking, how can we make the quality the best? Prabhupada. Quality, you'll understand. First of all, come to the quality. Without having quality, how will understand the quality? You follow the instruction of your spiritual master of the Shastra. That is your duty. Quality, no quality, it is not your position to understand. When the quality comes, there is no force. You will have a taste for chanting. You will desire at that time, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? That is quality. It is by force, you will not do it. Therefore, at least 16 rounds. But when you come to the quality, you will feel yourself. Why 16? Why 16? Why not 16,000? That is quality, automatically. So quality comes from quantity. The more you chant, not just 4 rounds, the more you chant, the more chances are that more of the names will be chanted purely. And the more you chant, even more than 16 rounds, more of the names will be chanted purely. You getting the point? The last thing I said. And the more you chant, even more than 16 rounds, more of the names in one round will be chanted purely. Right. So it's important. Okay. So in your books and your notes, in your writing pads, you can write at least two positive points in your japa development thus far. In other words, you may be chanting for a few years or many years, doesn't matter, but write some important points of development. You know, from this stage you went to that stage. I don't want to put words in your mouth and in your pen, so try and write something about some positive points in your japa. Then write on at least two negative points which turns out to be positive later on. In other words, from the negative comes the positive. Go ahead. You decide it, okay, either way. Need more time? All right. Who would like to share one positive and one negative? That means you have 2 points. Yes. I have to repeat what you're saying for the others. Last week you chanted 40 rounds. And then? That's positive. And you felt happy. So that's nice. Chant and be happy. Okay, that's positive. And one negative? Attention is not good. In other words, mind. The mind is a problem. We're going to address and sort out this mind by tomorrow. Don't worry. Prabhupada gives us everything. How to sort it out. Okay, good. One of the men. Okay, one positive, one negative.
The positive side, when I chant my japa, I feel humble.
He says, chanting japa is humbling experience. Good.
The negative side, when I chant my japa, I feel very hungry.
But that's a positive one. At least you have an appetite. But when you chant the japa, you feel hungry, but it's positive. At least you have an appetite. Okay. So, when you chant, you feel hungry, you're thinking of Krishna or food? Prasad. Okay. Positive. Yes. So do you always chant loudly?
Yes.
Like so, you disturbing others?
The negative is, while I'm chanting, I feel that I'm chanting very loudly and chanting very seriously, and I find fault of others chanting.
Yes. Yeah, the negative you have to be careful and you should not see. When we are chanting, but we should be free from finding fault. That is offensive. Yes, so you have to work on that. Actually the mind is so naughty, extremely naughty. It's crazy, it's mad. Mind is like that. One of them, yes?
Should we be careful with chanting too loud?
Alright, let's discuss that now then. Because when we do our 64 rounds plus, some people look forward to the 65th round, it's the best one. Best. So, if you have a tendency to chant loudly and you are aware of it, you should chant a little away from others so that the others are not disturbed. But, If you are disturbed, now the other way around. One is that if you chant loudly, try to go more to a corner or something and chant, so you disturb others less. But the other way around is that if you are feeling that you are being disturbed by others loud chanting, you understand, the other way around, you should know that that's the mind. You should know that that's the mind is telling you, hey, you feel you're getting disturbed by this person chanting. You will know that if you are hearing your own chanting, no matter how loud things are around you, you will not hear them. This is a fact. When you are chanting japa and hearing your own chanting, you will actually cut off the outside environment. But if you're hearing something, it's a background. It's a background. You will not hear. Because when you're hearing your own chanting, that's the sharpest hearing focus. Even if somebody is chanting loudly near you, you will not hear. Because you're hearing your own chanting. That's the trick. Sometimes it comes in your 40th round. Sometimes it comes in your 52nd round. That, you know, you can actually be able to do that. Able to do that. Sometimes you can do it in your 10th round. You can be able to hear, but even the person can be chanting loudly and next to you, you will not hear. You all you will hear is a background of buzzing, like that. But you can hear your own chanting clearly. So there's two ways for the loud chanting. If you feel you chant loudly, try to situate yourself a little away from others, a few meters away. And the other way, if somebody is chanting loudly and you feel it disturbing you, you should put more effort in hearing your own chanting, and that will go away. Is that all right? Okay. I'd like to move ahead. It's a beautiful analogy, Prabhupada says, it's in that box. When flying in a plane, one cannot take care of other planes. Everyone has to take care of his own plane. And if there's any danger, no other plane can help another in that condition. Similarly, at the end of life, when one has to go back home, back to Godhead, everyone has to take care of himself without help rendered by another. The help is however offered on the ground before flying in space. Okay? So we've put this sort of diagram on, some sketches there in terms of the airplane and so forth. You're going to rate yourself, rate your japa on a scale of 1 to 10, pure japa to number 1, no japa. Like that. And you've got to rate it this way. Now I'm changing what's in that block. So you write in your books, write on the word taste. Below that, write on the word priority. Below that, write on the word steadiness. And below that, write on the words ability to stay focused. Write it down. You'll also get these slide notes. This session, I'm not giving you the slide notes ahead of time. I'll give it to you at the end. Okay, it could be quite hypothetical, but it's an exercise to evaluate. It gives you a sense of evaluation now. But if you take it very seriously, how you evaluate now, you can do this evaluation 6 months later or 6 years later, and you can see how you progress. But it's very personal. It's not for telling others how you're doing. It's very personal. Okay? So now, you've written the word taste, you've written the word priority, and below that steadiness, and in the next line you've written the word ability to stay focused. Okay? So now, just rate your taste. Taste means, you remember the previous example, I hate to chant my rounds. I have to chant my rounds. I want to chant my rounds. I get to chant my rounds. Oh, I want to chant my rounds. Oh, I love to chant. So that's a type of taste. In other words, you look forward to your chanting or not. So you can rate yourself just as a sort of evaluation on the word taste. Go ahead. I'll give it to you in the notes. You're going to get these notes. Yes. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam. Alright, so you've done that. Then you go to priority. Priority means in your to-do list for the day, where does your chanting japa fit in? Some person's priorities means 4 rounds in the morning, 4 rounds during lunchtime at work, and 4 rounds when they come, and you know, 8 rounds in the evening when they come back from work. So the priority is not really on top. See? But if you chant your rounds first thing in the morning, that's number one on your list priority. Like that. See? So you can rate your priority in terms of chanting. Is it the first thing you do, or is it you do amongst other things? Alright? It's 4 categories of just some type of valuation. Then rate your steadiness. Steadiness indicates that do you complete nicely your 16 rounds daily? You are steady in your chanting. There may be some exceptions during maybe Janmashtami or preparing for Rathya for festival, and you know your rounds carry over the next day. But it's not a habit. That's an exception. But in a general sense for the week, do you complete your rounds every day? You are steady in your chanting every day. You complete it every day. So rate yourself. Not that you know you're carrying rounds for the last 6 months every day. You know, it becomes a problem. So you can rate your steadiness. Some type of rating. It may be an educated guess. That's fine. Just to get you acclimatized to evaluate. Okay, and then the next, ability to stay focused indicates, are you actually hearing the mantra? You know, you focus when you're chanting, you are hearing, that's the focus. Right. And most of us have that difficulty, whether we can actually hear every mantra we chant. So you can rate that, you know, in a general sense. Okay, I'm just giving you some tools, you know, like to rate yourself in different ways. Okay. Now I'm going to chant, just me and you here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. How was the chanting? Was it good? Was there any fault in that, or was it okay? Raise your hand. Yes, you didn't speak. It was? It was slow chanting, that's fine, but was it okay? Besides being slow. Alright, anyone else? Yes. Clear? Okay. Fine. Yeah. without enthusiasm. Okay? You mean I didn't hear my own chanting? Alright. Okay, let me do it again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes. Clear? It's a big thing. You'll be thinking you're chanting purely, nicely, slowly, and so forth. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare. These 16 names composed of how many syllables?
32
syllables are the only means to counteract the evil effects of Kali Yuga. 32 syllables. In all the Vedas it is seen that to cross the ocean of nescience there is no alternative to the chanting of the holy name. This is from Kali Santarana Upanishad and it's cited in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. 16 words and 32 syllables. Now, somebody may say, but I'm hearing Srila Prabhupada chanting japa. That Srila Prabhupada says, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. You are hearing Prabhupada chanting japa. Are you seeing his lips moving? You're not seeing his lips moving, but you are hearing. So, let's do it for you. This is our proper chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. See, the lip moves and the Ma is there, but he can hear, but you cannot hear. But if it's recorded, you may not be able to hear. So don't find fault with Srila Prabhupada. Be careful. Because it's clear. 32 syllables. And some people say, but in Hindi it's no Rama, it's Ram. Huh? We are not Hindus. It's 32 syllables. So imagine for so many years if somebody is saying Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. They have missed out how many syllables? 4 syllables for so many years. And we're going to discuss? We're going to discuss tomorrow proper in the quotation. He says you must use the upper lip, lower lip, everything. So Ram, Ma, you know, the lips must be used. Not Ram, 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 Ma. The Ma is short, but sometimes if you say Ram, Ram, say that Ma is there, but you cannot hear. I can hear. I can hear. Mm-hmm. Ramo. We're not going to discuss kirtan. Sometimes in kirtan, because of the flow of the, you could say, raga or what, flow of the raga or the tempo of the thing, They may chant the name only Ram. They won't say Rama. That's the flow of that rag. We're not discussing kirtan. There is an exchange about with Vishnujan Swami about the Ramu. There is an exchange. And Prabhupada chastised, not Ramu. It's Rama. And you cannot say it's a cultural thing coming from a particular background. If you say Ramu, you have to follow clearly Rama. First A is long and second A is short. Rama. This is basic stuff. It is the foundation of our Krishna consciousness, from which our consciousness is built upon for all other services, this chanting. Especially japa. We don't want to discuss too much kirtan. Because there's ragas. They may leave the ma. About Srila Prabhupada chanting. I'll tell you one more before I take your question. Srila Prabhupada chants Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. And then he says, Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Someone will say, Prabhupada forgot the third line and the second line. You heard? I heard. Prabhupada sing like this. You know, he forgot that line, Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vardhari. And he goes to say, see, Prabhupada forgot that line. No. Prabhupada singing is a form of ecstasy. And a form of ecstasy means it doesn't have to go in order. You know? So even if you're hearing Ram and not Rama, you should understand that Prabhupada is there. Our first reference to Prabhupada is his books. In epistemology, the first is his books and his purports. Right? So that's our epistemology. That's number one. That's our reference number one. Then comes, you know, transcribed lectures and letters and conversations and things like that. See? So this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita cited. The famous verse about chanting holy names, Kali. Yes. No. Let's you go first. This is before you. Okay? Yes. Yes.
I would like to understand what the meaning of how can I understand?
Do not try to understand the consciousness of a Mahabhagavata. It cannot be understood. When Prabhupada chants, I can safely say to this like this. For example, it's like a genuine cry for the mother, like that, like Prabhupada gives it. Now when a child calls the mother and father, they don't call full name. They call sometimes like half a syllable. But it's done with great affection. Say, ma, you know, they try, you know. Like sometimes a child, you might tell the child, say Prabhupada. The child can't say Prabhupada. And soon as the child says, Pad. And you get so happy because it's done with affection, you know, the child is trying. So similarly, in the ecstasy of chanting, one is innocent like a child. Because the child is the purity of innocence. They don't commit any sin. So Prabhupada's chanting is something like that. You know, in his innocence, in his pure innocence as a resident of the spiritual world. So we should be careful. And at the same time, we cannot imitate the Mahabharata. we should be the sadhaka, follow what he says in his books as his first reference point. Yes? Hare. Hare. If it's like this, just to give another example, like according to the Chinese vocabulary and the way of speaking, they cannot pronounce the R either in Hare or in Krishna. They cannot be. It's just the vocal cord, and you know, it's like they're born into. They cannot. The word R is not in their vocabulary. So they may say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You understand? But Krishna accepts that. Krishna accepts it. It's just that they come from that background of the vocal cord or whatever the case may be. So similarly, if somebody has a tendency of saying, not Hare, but Hare, you know, whatever, you know, like that, but its meaning that, it's the, you know, the consciousness is behind it is proper, then it's accepted. Then it's accepted. But to teach others, you have to say the right thing. To teach others, you have to say the right thing. But from a personal level, it may be accepted if it's done with affection. Is that all right? Okay, well, I believe we should be breaking up now for about 10 minutes. And a few seconds in shade, you may want to chant guide. Is that all right? 10 minutes? We'll be back. And you're not getting your 5 minutes. For the devotees who just skip, make sure within those 10 minutes you prepare yourself. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.